Let us pray. God, we have prayed for how you are holy and declaring that you are holy. You are good. You are pure. In you there is no darkness. And we acknowledge that that is not who we are or how we live. We fall short of who you've created us to be. So, Lord, have mercy upon all. Take away from me my sins and mercifully kindle in me the fire of your Holy Spirit. Take away from me the heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh, a heart to love and adore you, a heart to delight in you, to follow and to enjoy you. For Christ's sake, we thank you, Jesus, that you came in our place. Take away all the ways that we fall short and to give us new life. We thank you that you show us what the Father is like, and Father, that you love us and are eager to give good gifts to us and pleased to give us the Holy Spirit. So we ask for that today, that as we read your word, as we learn to pray, as we seek to live well, that your Holy Spirit would be guiding us in all of that. And so we join together now to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may have a seat. We're in a series on the Lord's prayers. And so part of that is to look at that prayer we just said together and different aspects of it each week. But we're also looking at different prayers that the Lord Jesus prayed that are recorded in the Bible. There's not a lot of prayers actually recorded in the Bible of Jesus, what he actually said when he was praying. There's a lot that shows that he did pray or was praying or at that time was praying, but we looked at quite a few of those last week, and we'll keep looking at some of those as they go along with the different aspect of what a lot of us call the Lord's Prayer. So Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, kind of a grounding text for this whole series. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" So a little more condensed version than what we find in Matthew when he's teaching a sermon. It's a different context, and he gives the prayer that has a lot of what we just prayed, most of what we just prayed. But the core aspects of it are contained here. When you boil it down to the central parts, this is what it is. And last week, what we talked about is Jesus starts by saying, "Father." He starts by saying, like, this is who we're addressing. Because when we go to pray, it's good to know what or who or, you know, what is it we're praying to? Who is it we're praying to? And that Jesus says, "Father," says that we're praying to a who. There's a personal relationship. We're praying to a person when we pray. And so we start with Father. And prayer is communication with God, talking to God, listening to God, and one of the ways that we hear from God is through his word. But Jesus, as he was praying, it says in Luke 3, and being baptized, as he's praying, the heavens tear open and a voice says, "This is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." And so when Jesus says, "Father," Abba in the Aramaic, and how little kids would say, "Father," you know, "Abba." When he says that, he is thinking, this is the God who loves me, is delighted in me, is pleased with me. And when he goes to pray, he knows he's praying to someone who loves him, who's for him, who smiles over him. And in the Matthew account of this prayer, Jesus instructs us to pray, "Our Father." So there's a way in which we're praying this prayer together with other people who are followers of Jesus, but there's also a way in which, if it's just me, I'm praying this prayer with Jesus. He's praying this prayer with me because he came so that we could become children of God. So we are ones that are loved by God, that he's pleased with. And so when we go to start to pray, it's important to start with, like, hey, before I get into all that I want to talk about, just to remember, like, I am loved. The one I'm talking to actually likes me, loves me, delights in me. Start there. As we start there, then we become ready to pray. But a goal, a primary goal in why we'd have a life of prayer is just to know that this is true. Like, deep in us, we're loved. God loves us. He really loves us. And then out of that place, knowing that we're talking to someone who loves us, who wants to give good gifts to us, then Jesus says, now you can start asking for stuff. And so, you know, if I know that there is someone who has all kinds of good gifts and really wants to give them to me, and I get to now go start to ask him, like, what's the first thing I'm going to ask for? What's the thing I'm going to ask for again and again and again? What is it going to be? Okay, so we're doing this prayer together. Our Father, you meet Jesus and I. Okay, we're doing this prayer together. You're kind of leading me in how we should pray and what's important. Okay, what's going to be the first thing? I know what I got in mind. And here's what Jesus says. First thing you should ask for, hallowed be your name, God. Really? That's not exactly what I had in mind. A, I don't even know what hallowed means. I mean, hallowed. I don't hallow things. I don't know what hallow. What are we? Halloween. That's about all I got. And that doesn't seem like what we're talking about here. So, what is hallowed be my? So that's first. So, it isn't a word we use. I mean, may your name be known as holy, like different, separate, one of a kind, no one like you. That's part of what hallowing the name would be. And we'll talk a little bit more about different aspects of what it means to hallow your name. But that's not the only reason that I'm like, huh? I mean, one of the other reasons I'm like, huh, is because, like, that's just not something I ask for. Like, I'm asking for stuff, so my first thought isn't like, hey, may everyone know how great you are, that there's no one like you, that you're completely good, that you are loving, that you are worthy, that you have made all things, that you're amazing. I mean, that's just not what's coming to my brain when I go to pray. But that's what's right here for Jesus. It just doesn't feel natural to me to be like, okay, I'm going to start praying, and now I'm going to start asking for stuff, so, like, may you be glorified. But that is the top priority for Jesus. So how do we hallow a name? Well, looking at some of those prayers that we looked at last week, like Luke 10, verse 21, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do. I praise you, Father. One of the ways that we hallow God's name is just by expressing praise, worth, you know, value. This is who you are, God. And we can do that through song. That's like when people think of praise or worship, that's one of the things that comes to mind the most. That's why we do that every week. It is part of it, expressing it. But it's not just that. It's what we say. It can be expressed in what we make, in art, in different ways where we're saying, I'm giving value to God. I am giving worth to God. You know, when we're wearing our racing t-shirts, we're praised. Like, we're saying, like, yeah, this is the person we like. I'm not going to point to the person I like in the racing, but I do. And so I want to support it. I want to promote it. I mean, there's a couple of you. But, I mean, any others? I don't care, because these are the two I like. Anyway, so we want to promote that, you know, with our football team, with the music, with, you know, what are we putting on our walls? What flags are we waving? All that kind of stuff, political science. We're like glory. That's, we're bringing glory to it. And it's not that that is bad. It's just who deserves the highest. And that's not here for me. That's here. So that is one of the ways that we do it. Now, if you look at how people prayed, the followers of God in the Bible, and that we have prayers recorded by them, by like Nehemiah or Daniel or David or Moses, like their prayers, there's and a lot of the Psalms, there's like this big windup. They don't just start asking for stuff. They just say, a lot of times it's like, God, the one who created the heavens and the earth and the seas and under the earth and everything in them. Like, before I pray, I'm going to see, like, this is who I'm talking to. And then they say things like, and when we were in trouble, you came and saved us. And we messed up and we don't deserve it, but you still forgave us and loved us. And it's like they're saying all these things about who God is and how great he is. They're hallowing his name before they even get to asking anything. They are getting in touch with who they're praying to and what he's like. They are hallowing his name. So that is one way to do it. Now, you know, Jesus just shortly said, actually, Matt, give me the verse 27 right away. Here's something to pay attention to of what Jesus didn't pray and then what he prayed. So John chapter 12, now my soul is troubled. This is Jesus talking. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Like, what should I pray? Should I pray first of like, what would be good for me? No, what's my top priority? Glorify your name. Be glorified in my life. That is his top priority. And so we'll see that that is again and again what he prays for. Again, like, this is not what I'm praying for. This is not what's coming to my mind first. But in the other prayer that can sometimes be called the Lord's Prayer, in John 17, a really long prayer, this is how it starts. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Going back to verse 1. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. So God is bringing glory to Jesus in different ways. And Jesus says, whatever you give me, all the good things you give me, here's what I want. I want to give it right back to you. Any glory I have, I'm going to take it and use it just to give you glory. That is my priority. That is what Jesus is about, to give glory back to God. So a second way that we hallow his name is when we seek his glory. This is what Jesus is teaching us to do. Now, it's like, well, yeah, Jesus, he's different. Absolutely true. He's not just human, he's fully God. And so he gets this glory, and that makes sense to us. But as he keeps praying, quite a ways later down the road, verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone, not for the people just in this room, that were in the room with Jesus at the time. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So that would include any of us who believe and are followers of Jesus, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. It's a mouthful. It's a lot of repetitions, but one of the things that we see in here is Jesus is praying for the glory that he has to be given to those who believe. Like, he wants to give you glory, some of his glory. And now with that glory, part of what happens, we become connected. That is part of his glory, that we become connected to God and to each other. And then we can offer that back up to him, to Jesus. So we bring glory to God and to Jesus. He gives us glory, and we give it up. He loves us. We have love the same way the Father loved Jesus. I mean, can you imagine how much the Father loved Jesus? And with that same amount of love, that's what he wants us to have. He wants to give us glory, and then we get it, and we can give it back to him if we want. We can live for his glory, that how loving and good and incredible he is, people would actually know that. You know, the name, why we're hallowing a name, is because the name is his identity. The name is who he is. The name is his reputation. And so with that name, so with what we have, we can help promote his reputation as he really is or not. And that leads to the last thing. We hallow God's name when we represent his character. We hallow God's name when we represent his character. Before last week, we were in a sermon series through the spring on one of the commandments, the commandment on the Sabbath. The commandment right before that is this: you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Let me read it again. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Now, my understanding for many years of this, and I think a lot of people's understanding of this commandment, if they even realize it is a commandment, is that if I got my finger here and I take a hammer to put and I hit my finger instead of the nail, then I shouldn't say Jesus Christ at that moment because I'm misusing. I'm probably not saying it the right way. Or I shouldn't say God damn this thing or this or whatever because I'm using God's name, but probably not I'm misusing God's name. Or if I was like, I'm swearing to God. I swear to God. No, swear to God is real. Swear to God. Swear to God. Swear to God. Well, we're not supposed to curse. I mean, the main thing about cursing is just that it reveals anger in us. So I don't think this one is like the thing that God would really be most concerned about. Although, we should try not to use filthy language. But, I mean, that's not... But, like, when we are directing it at people, or like, it's like more like a revelation of what's going on in our heart when we use a lot of bad language. But that's not what this commandment is about. And Jesus does say, like, don't lightly swear to God. Like, he might call you on things. Like, you swear to God for a reason. Like, God, you come down, and he's like, okay. Really? Is that what you want? Because I know you don't think you mean it, but it means something. Anyway, that's not what this means either. What this is really getting at is those who take on his name should not misuse that they're identifying themselves with him. So if we say, I am a Christian, I am taking on his name, Jesus Christ's name. I am his follower. I am his child. I'm in his family. So I get to take on his name, his identity. So don't do that in an empty way. Because when I do that, how I live, how I talk is going to be what people think of him. It's going to affect his name. That's what it gets when it says don't misuse his name. So again, back to that prayer, right in the middle of the prayer from John 17, Jesus says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that we may be one as you are one. So he has prayed a prayer like he has the Father's name. He is showing us what the Father is like. He has taken on that name, and that name has a power to it. That name has a protection to it. That name means we belong. To take on the name is really huge. And he's saying, like, I've done that, but then a little bit later, what I had read earlier, he's saying, like, that's the name that I want to give other people, that we're all one, that they belong, that they're protected, that they're part of this, so we take on the name. But what about we do about the fact that we don't live up to that perfectly? We aren't like that. Well, verse 11, this is what he prays. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And that word sanctify is pretty much almost the exact same word, there might be a tense or something that's different about it, as hallowed. As the Greek word that's translated hallowed is translated sanctify here. So if we want to say sanctify your name, God, if we were praying that, it would be like, take away the parts about your reputation and how people know you that aren't true. We don't want that. We want people to know as you really are because you are incredible. Because you are here, because you have good purposes in mind, because even though we don't deserve it, you're going to pick us up and love it, because even though life is hard now, you say it's going to be worth it. Our sufferings can't compare to the glory that's going to be revealed in us later on, and that's going to last for eternity. That's who you are. That's what you're doing. We want people to know that. Glorify your name. May your name be hallowed. That's what the prayer is. So if we want that, then we take on his name, we say, sanctify me, so that how I live would actually help people see you, would actually help hallow your name. So that's why I said to hallow God's name is when we represent his character. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, this is the last passage I'm going to look at this morning. And it says somewhere... There we go. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's going to go on to talk about forgiveness and love. These are characteristics of God. This is what he's like. He is kind. He is patient. He is gentle. He is these things with us. So we put that on us because we are bearing his name. But the reason I picked this passage, because there's lots of passages I could pick about the character of God, is this, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. I think that phrase summarizes what we have learned from the Lord's Prayer in these 2 weeks. Father, our Father, we are dearly loved. That's the starting point. We don't want to skip past that really fast. We are dearly loved. You are dearly loved. So when we pray from that place. So, I'll change my mind. I'm going a different direction. So, and we are holy. We are different. We are set apart for a different purpose. God has done that for us. So we have the opportunity to hallow his name. Be glorified in my life. Be glorified in my life. That's right here. If it's there at all, I mean, it's not really on my radar screen most of the time. But for Jesus, Father, glorify your name is right here. Let me give the action steps and then move towards a close. So the action steps are to pray the Lord's Prayer every day. If you don't know it or want something that can help you remind us, we have bookmarks out there with the Lord's Prayer on it. Just say that prayer every day. If you know the prayer, there are ways to just sit in one different aspect of the prayer and just say it in different ways. I've actually been doing that with Hallowed Be Your Name through this whole message. There are different ways where we're praying Hallowed Be Your Name. Great are you, Lord, and great to be greatly to be praised. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Holy, holy is the Lord God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of angel army hosts. Hallowed be your name. May your name be glorified. So these are different ways just to pray that one part. Second, upper room on Wednesday nights. Upper room on Wednesday nights, there's live worship. At 6:30 every Wednesday, there's live worship. So there's a way in which we can praise his name, hallow his name by expressing praise if we want to join in with the live worship. Or that can be just you're praying. This is a way you're entering into prayer and you're not necessarily connecting the whole time to that. You're more praying on your own, and both are totally fine with upper room worship. So that's a way you can be praying during this series. And then sign up for the week of prayer. be one of the persons who is says, here I am, God. Here I am. Now, if let me just the whole hallowed be your name. How crucial is it for us to live well, to know who he really is? It's pretty crucial. And when I prayed this prayer, what I'm mostly thinking is, hallowed be your name so that other people who don't really know you would come to know what you're really like. That's a good prayer to pray. But what I realize is, like, also when I pray hallowed be your name, I need to be like, in my own mind and imagination and being, would you take the ways that I look at you or think about you or don't think about you that are wrong, and would you shift them so I can see you as you really are? So I can see, oh, yes, you really do love me. So for a whole week, last week, I'm saying to myself over and over again, I am loved. Thank you for loving me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you're pleased with me. Thank you that you like the way you made me. Thank you for the good plans you have. Thank you that you love me. And when I first started, it felt unnatural. I realized that there is part of me that doesn't really believe that. Same thing here. When I say, God, glorify your name. Glorify your name in me today. May your name be glorified in what I do today. May your name be glorified in this interaction today. May your name be glorified in my family members' lives. May your name be glorified in this church. May your name be glorified. May you get glory. May people come to know who you are, for what you're really like. And when I say that, now you get in the prayer room, you can pray that prayer for an entire hour. You can pray, just glorify your name for an entire hour. You could say, this person I love so much, they don't even know you yet, but would you glorify your name in their life, that they would come to know you, that the other people would come to know you? May you glorify your name today, because I know I have this meeting coming up and I don't know what to do, but I want your name to be glorified. And all of a sudden what happens is the pressure comes off a little bit. Because I'm thinking about how I'm going to make life and how I'm going to be happy and what do I need to do and what a decision. Instead, it's just like, what I want more than anything is just people to come to know you. That you would show up in situations so that people know what you're really like. That's what I want more than anything. And when I think about how I have come to have a relationship with God that is still going when I'm almost 50, that I still actually believe in him and am not just going through the motions. I mean, sometimes, yes, but in the heart of the matter, no. I think about what brought this about in my life. And one of the things was just being in worship rooms. I mean, you know, this isn't everybody's pathway. Some people, like, they're just barren with the music to get to the other things or showing up for their duty or whatever. But that's not me. Like, I can go to a hymn sing, and I still, there's something that, as I've gotten older, I've gotten more sensitive to. There's something about the presence of God being, like, he is real. I can feel him. I can sense him. I know him. I am different when I've been in this presence. And that's why we are gathering to go with the presence of Jesus. We are seeking the presence of Jesus, because then his name will be glorified. Then his name will be hallowed. Then people will see him as he really is. And when we are singing what he really is, who he really is to him, when I've got this prayer book where I'm reading people from the hundreds of years ago and they talk in a weird language, but they are just fascinated with God and they have all these different ways of describing who God is. And I'm like, oh yeah, he is limitless. He is beautiful. He creates all beauty. And I just start to, I can go for a long time, hallowed be your name, and all of a sudden this is coming right here. And another way that I have come to hallow God's name is when someone will say to me, like, you know what, I just think I'm supposed to pray for you. And then they pray something that, like, how could, you couldn't possibly know that. That's what I needed. But he did. He must be real. And he must see me. And the part of me that's kind of frozen to God's love thaws a little bit. And when you get a bunch of those over life, all of a sudden, his name gets more hallowed because you are coming to know him as he really is. And when I see people, I think this is the story I prayed. You know, what's a story? What is just, like, not supernatural feeling, but just me seeing God's character and how somebody else lives and changes. The thing that came to mind is when a middle school kid moves to town and their dad's part of the administration. So they already got that against them. I know of being a principal's kid myself. And they show up and they sit by themselves as an eighth grader. And one kid with all his friends goes and sits with that kid. And then says, hey, we sit over here. You can sit with us. And that kid had been formed in a place where people are, hallowed be your name. And it's those kinds of things. And when I have been around people, especially I'm thinking of my late teens, early 20s, where I started to come into contact with people who just really wanted to live for Jesus. They wanted to see his name glorified. That way of living is so compelling to me. That's what I want so much. And even now, almost 50, when I get around people who are engaged in that way, it's like something comes alive in me again. God, glorify your name. Glorify your name. What if you pray that every day? What if every person who goes into that prayer room during a whole week prays in some way, God, glorify your name in me. Glorify your name in this church. Starts naming specific people, specific towns, specific workplaces, specific schools, specific teams, and just says, glorify your name there. I don't even know what it looks like, but that's what I want. And then things change. And I'll tell you, I lived differently this week because of how many times I just prayed, glorify your name in my life. So may we all join together and hallow his name. Let's pray. Father, our Father, our Holy Father, our loving Father, Father who made everything, our Father who made us, made me, paid attention when you made me. Who was smiling when you made me. Calls me a son, calls me a daughter. Hallowed be your name. Make yourself known to me as you really are. Make yourself known to us as you really are. Make yourself known through us to each other as you really are. Make yourself known to the world as you are. Make yourself known to the people we're going to be interacting with this week as you really are. Glorify your name through us. Glorify your name in the people's lives that we're around. Thank you that you love us. Thank you. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be lifted up. Holy, holy, holy are you. You are like no other. You are the one and only. No one can compare to you. Nothing can compare to you. There is no other God like you. There is no other created thing like you. We will go through eternity and not even come close to exhausting all of the treasures and riches and goodness and beauty and creativity of your very being. So help us to praise you and worship you and make yourself known to us as you really are as we do it. May your presence fill this place, fill our minds and our hearts in our very bodies and beings. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.